Welcome to Sunday Morning at First Presbyterian Church, San Antonio. Living to make Jesus visible in our neighborhood, in our city, and in our world. We invite you to join us any Sunday for traditional worship at 9:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. or contemporary worship at 11 a.m. Sunday school for all ages is at 9:30. Everyone is welcome. There are also lots of opportunities to learn more about Jesus Christ and find ways to serve our community. We're located at 404 North Alamo in downtown San Antonio. Parking is free.
For more information, visit us online at fpcsanantonio.org.
The Reverend Dr. Bob Fuller.
This is the day the Lord has made, is it not? Thank you to our choir for that beautiful reminder of God's love, of His truth in our lives, and this special gift that we have here today. Well, I know that you've heard this joke before, but it's a classic. A tourist was walking down Manhattan's 57th Street, and he saw a musician walking down the sidewalk with a violin case in his hand. And the tourist asked the musician, "Excuse me, sir, how do you get to Carnegie Hall?" And the musician answered, "Practice, man, practice." Like I said, it's an old one. I know you've heard it before. There's so many versions of that old joke, but I think the point is well taken. How do we get from where we are right now to where we want to be? And the answer is practice, man, practice. But we also have to understand that transformation does not happen overnight. It takes practice. Charles Kettering, the inventor of the automobile self-starter, somebody whose invention we use every day without even thinking about it. He was also the vice president of General Motors. He once said that you don't buy a fiddle one day and play in Carnegie Hall tomorrow. Transformation takes intentional, focused practice over time. We began this new year, 2018, talking about Christ's kingdom vision and exploring how Jesus' declaration that the kingdom of heaven is at hand and how that translates into the life and context of First Presbyterian Church of San Antonio. How do we get from where we are now to Christ's kingdom vision? Well, we have to do what Jesus commanded. And we have to practice the things that Jesus practiced. We have to do what He did, and we practice what He preached. So let's take a look at Matthew chapter 4, verses 23 through 25. It's on page 962 in your pew Bibles if you'd like to follow along there. But here's what Matthew tells us. He says, "And he went throughout all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction among the people. So his fame spread throughout all Syria, and they brought him all the sick, those afflicted with various diseases and pains, those oppressed by demons, epileptics and paralytics, and he healed them. And great crowds followed him from Galilee and the Decapolis and from Jerusalem and Judea and from beyond the Jordan. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God endures forever." Let us pray. Oh Lord, You are a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And as we come before You this morning, we ask that You would awaken us and that You would inspire us, that You would lead us to understand Your truth, and that You would move us to practice what You have preached. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be holy and acceptable to You, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. For it is in the name of Your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that we pray. Amen. 2 weeks ago, we studied Jesus' calling of His first disciples. And after Jesus started putting the first members of His team together, He immediately got to work. At this point, remember, Jesus only had four disciples, the first four, Peter, Andrew, James, and John. But he hit the ground running, and he started right where he was. He started in Galilee. Now, no one back in the day of Jesus would have said, you know what, I'm going to be famous, and I'm going to change the world, and I'm going to start in Galilee. Nobody would have said that, because Galilee was not Broadway. Galilee was more off-Broadway. It would be like someone saying, I'm going to follow my dream all the way to Plano. Because if I can make it there, I can make it anywhere. Sorry if any of you are from Plano. But you know, we've heard the expression in terms of New York or London or Paris. But ordinarily, you wouldn't start something big in Galilee. You'd start something big in a place like Jerusalem, at the center of power, near the temple, near the palace, or in Rome, in the center of the empire, someplace like that. But instead, Jesus went to this little northern town, these little northern towns in Galilee. But that's significant because whenever Israel was invaded, these northernmost regions of Zebulun and Naphtali were always the first to be sacked. They were always the first to be overrun and subjugated. They were always the first to suffer, and now they were going to be the first to see the new light of the Messiah. And this is important to note because the ministry of Jesus began not at the center, but out on the edges, on the margins, on the exposed flank of Israel. Jesus went to the outsiders. He started in what we would call today flyover country. And Matthew says that he began in the synagogues, proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom. Now, I want you to remember this. The kingdom of heaven is Jesus Christ's vision for the world as it is supposed to be, as God created it to be. The kingdom of heaven exists where and when people understand that God is king and that God is really in charge. It exists where and when God is enthusiastically honored, obeyed, and enjoyed. And it exists where and when people are known by their love for one another. So Jesus began his work by proclaiming the kingdom of heaven to God's own people. Why would he start there? Well, he started there because honestly, many of them had forgotten God's promises. Or worse, they thought that God had forgotten them. Many had misunderstood God's promises. And lots of them were just going through the motions. They were going to the synagogue. They were celebrating the feasts. But they were really living secular lives. And so Jesus went to the synagogues to say, you know, God's not done with you yet. He's not given up on you. You are his covenant people. You are his chosen people. You are his holy priesthood. He's not sidelined you. You are still his plan. Let's step back for a second. As the covenant people of God, the Jews thought of themselves as the insiders. They weren't the most wealthy or the most powerful nation, but they were God's chosen people. It reminds me of something my friend's grandmother, Mary Martin, once said when this street evangelist came up to her and she said, "Ma'am, have you been born again?" She said, "No, sir. I was born a Presbyterian. I was born right the first time." She was married to a Presbyterian pastor. I think that might have something to do with it. But that was their worldview. You know, we don't need to be born again. We were born right the first time. We're God's covenant people. And their worldview, their history, even their language divided the world into two groups. It was us and them. There were the Jews and the Gentiles. That's God's people and everybody else. It didn't matter if you were a Viking or Chinese or some other ethnic group. If you weren't a Jew, you were a Gentile. You're either one of us or you're everybody else. And so taking a look at the book of Matthew in particular, the book of Matthew was written by a Jew, Matthew, to explain Jesus to his fellow Jews. In his gospel, time and time again, he referred to Jewish custom, and he quoted Old Testament prophecy at least 12 times to connect the dots between the good news of Jesus Christ and God's covenant promises and history with God's chosen people. Matthew's gospel was written to help Israel, to help the insiders of God's family understand God's bigger vision for the world, his bigger vision for the kingdom of heaven. So Jesus began in the synagogues with the insiders, but then he went outside of the synagogue and started teaching the message of the kingdom of heaven. And so he not only went to geographic outsiders, he went to the social, to the religious, and the economic outsiders. The Bible says that he went to people suffering, and underline this in your Bible, even in the Pew Bible if you want to, every disease and every affliction. Diseased people, impoverished people, helpless people, people suffering from mental illness, widows and orphans. He didn't just see the physical needs or afflictions of people. He saw that people were lost in the darkness of the world. He saw their soul afflictions. They were destroying themselves morally and spiritually, some because they were corrupt and rebellious, and some just because they were ignorant. They didn't know any better. And some because they were enslaved by demonic spiritual forces beyond all rational comprehension. And he started healing them. Now, at this point, we're tempted to separate Jesus' kingdom teaching, his teaching work, from his healing work. But we can't do that because his teaching and his healing are bound together. They are one set. You can't separate one from the other. Teaching and healing, proclaiming God's truth and serving one another are bound together in the mission of Jesus Christ. While, not later, not apart from, but while Jesus was declaring that the kingdom of heaven is at hand, he was showing them what it looks like. He was setting it up. He was setting up a demonstration and inviting people to live in it. He was creating an environment where people could see that God really can make a difference in our lives, not just now, but forever, where they could see with their own eyes. And what they saw, well, they saw people being healed. They saw people being liberated. They saw that people's lives were changed. And what happened next? Well, look at the text. What happened? Word got out and people came. Matthew says that great crowds followed him from Galilee and the Decapolis, that's 10 cities around the countryside, from Jerusalem and Judea and beyond the Jordan even. You know, that's exactly what God said would happen when his kingdom was lifted up. This is Micah chapter 4 come to life. Remember when we talked about Micah chapter 4 a couple of weeks ago? Remember that God says to Micah, "Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the Lord, of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways and that we may walk in his paths." That's exactly what started to happen here. And let me tell you about this. Last week, and I know you were doing this too, I was reading the prophet Zechariah, because that's everybody's favorite place to go when they do their devotions. And I was reading the prophet Zechariah, and Zechariah chapter 8 goes right with Micah chapter 4. And listen to what I read just a few days ago. "Thus says the Lord of hosts, people shall yet come, even the inhabitants of many cities. The inhabitants of one city shall go to another, saying, let us go at once to entreat the favor of the Lord and seek the Lord of hosts. I myself am going." Jesus got outside of the synagogues and the kingdom of heaven was lifted up. God's truth was proclaimed and his love was demonstrated, and Jesus became famous and people started coming from everywhere. I don't know about you, but that sounds to me like a growth and a health program for a church. You lift up the name of Jesus Christ, you lift up his kingdom, you serve him, and you serve others as he demonstrated, and people will begin to come. When people hear God's truth proclaimed and they see the difference that he makes not only in their lives but in our lives, when they see that he really does make a difference in our lives, then they're going to say things like they said in Micah and Zechariah. There's something different and there's something good and there's something right about those people, and I want to be a part of that. And they will come. So what do we do with this? With these words of Jesus, these words of the prophets? Well, there's a great new commercial. I think it's for L.L. Bean Clothing and Equipment. And it shows this guy dressed in hiking boots and a backpack, and he's standing at the door of his cabin looking out into the woods. And he looks down at his welcome mat. Okay, looks down at his welcome mat. And he looks at it, and of course the welcome mat is oriented, as all welcome mats usually are, so that the person coming into the house can read it and their extended welcome. It's a wonderful sign of hospitality. It's a wonderful reminder that you are welcome here. But then this guy takes the welcome mat and he turns it around so that it's facing outside. So in other words, it's welcoming him to the outside. It's welcoming him to the woods. It's welcoming him to the adventure. When Jesus said, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand," when he said, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand, follow me," he was turning around the welcome mat. He turned it around. He was saying, it's time for the insiders to go outside and share God's covenant kingdom vision with the whole world. Jesus took the welcome mat and he turned it around. He's telling the insiders, you can't stay inside. You've got to go outside. You've got to be an outsider. And the whole world turned on its axis. The church is not this place where God's people come. The church is God's people who go. That's what the church is. The first word of the Great Commission is go. Jesus is inviting us, he's calling us, he's commanding us to go outside. Because when people hear God's truth proclaimed, and when people see the difference that God's love makes in our lives, they will say, I want to be a part of that. I want that for my family. I want that for my neighborhood. I want that for my coworkers. I want that for my city. Jesus is saying, turn the welcome mat around and be an outsider. Be an outsider. Go outside. Jesus has given us four directives. If you look at the New Testament, he says that we're supposed to love, and I'm going to say and serve, to love and serve the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. To love and serve our neighbors as ourselves. To love and serve one another as he has loved us, and to make disciples of all nations. You know what? We can carry out Jesus' kingdom vision by loving Jesus Christ and devoting ourselves to knowing him through worship and the study of his word. We can carry out his kingdom vision by loving one another, both in and through fellowship, and supporting one another in times of crisis. Because honestly, if we don't love each other and people see us fighting or hear us gossiping or feuding, why would they want to be a part of this? And we can carry out this kingdom vision by loving this city, by loving our neighbors through mission and through service. But how do we make disciples through that process? There's still one big directive there, the Great Commission. Well, while We are casting Jesus' vision while we're demonstrating His love to the world and to one another, while we're learning more about Him. We ask people to come join us. We tell people, Jesus Christ wants you on His team because He has made you to make a difference. He wants you to be the answer to someone else's prayer. And we show them how their story is hidden in the big story of God's work in the world. Jesus didn't send Peter and Andrew and James and John off for training. He started demonstrating the kingdom and brought them along. You've heard me talk a lot about our Love 210 weekend, this massive service day to join with our mission partners around the city. Now, I want to tell you, here's why I think it's so important. And here is why I want you to get involved. Because Jesus has given us this vision of the kingdom of heaven. But you know what? Here's what's cool about a vision. A vision is just a testimony given in advance. And here's what I want for us. A vision is just a testimony given in advance. And my vision for Love 210 is that afterwards, people will be talking about Jesus Christ and about this church, and they're going to get excited about it. I want to look back on Love 210, and I want to hear people saying this or testifying about this. I want them saying this. See how they love this city, that they would give their time for us. See how they love one another, that they would spend this time working together for the sake of others. See how they love God, that they would do this for His glory. And my vision is that they would then say, you know what? We want to be a part of that. I want to be a part of that. Let us go out at once to entreat the favor of the Lord and seek the Lord of hosts. I myself am going. You know, I've seen on the threshold many churches, many sanctuaries, usually older churches, a sign painted above the door. It's on the inside, on the sanctuary side of the threshold. And it says in one version or another, you are now entering the mission field. You are now entering the mission field. It's a reminder that it's time for the church, for the people of God, to stop playing defense and start playing offense. We can't stay inside. We've got to get outside because Jesus has already turned the welcome mat around and said, "You are welcome to my kingdom, but it's out here. Be an outsider." Would you pray with me? Lord, we love this church. We love this place. We love this community. We love this fellowship. We love to come in here and to feel strengthened by fellowship and feel renewed by teaching and worship. And this is so wonderful. But Lord, this is not all of it. And we are missing some of the best part of your kingdom work if we do not go outside, if we do not understand that you have turned around the welcome mat and said, be an outsider. So Lord, help us to see the outside, the edges, the margin as an adventure, as a calling, as a mission. As we leave, each one of us today, inspire us, even make us uncomfortable. Until we begin to search and walk and go to the outside. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today for Sunday morning at First Presbyterian Church, San Antonio, where we are living to make Jesus visible. We're located at 404 North Alamo in downtown San Antonio. If you would like to speak to a pastor for any reason, please call us at area code 210-226-0215.
For more information, visit us online at fpcsanantonio.org.